The history of magic isn't straightforward, as author Jim Steinmeier describes with fellow author Peter Lamont in their book, The Secret History of Magic. In fact, there are many misconceptions about how audiences of the past reacted to magic tricks, going back to the ancient Greeks and Egyptians, all the way up to the advent of film and television. I spoke with Steinmeier about what history can tell us about magical performances through the years. First of all, did it surprise you how deep our misconceptions go when it comes to the origins of conjuring?
You know, it really goes back to a mysterious prehistory of magic. And one of the things we realize is that magic, you know, is one of the original, is maybe not even the original performance art. You can see what the appeal was. You can see that very basic level of using deception to engage people, to give them a surprise, to bring them back to the performer, to give them a sense of wonder. That's really at the root of so much entertainment. And you can see that magic is kind of the base simple form of that. So we know it's been around for a long time. We have clues that it's been around for a long time. And as something that's been around for a long time, sometimes the history of it isn't discussed because it's always been there. So we look at elaborate myths that have grown up, and we say, well, this is probably a magician. We can interpret this as a magician. And I think that's when we start to get things wrong. Probably the first magicians were people that were doing things that are still being done today. You know, sleight of hand, making something disappear in their hand and making it appear somewhere else. And then all of that is what was used to engage an audience and intrigue them.
Right. Well, and, you know, something that's amusing to me is we often think of, oh, people in the past, they were more gullible. They were more prone to believe in the supernatural. So what you talk about a little bit in the book is that, you know, people weren't necessarily more gullible. I mean, they didn't have necessarily the standards of science that we have today, but they knew to distinguish between someone who was performing for them and someone who said, hey, I actually have powers.
I think that's exactly right. I think that in many ways, people were more attuned with the natural world, you know, not necessarily physics or science, like you say, but they were attuned with the natural world than we are today, because, you know, their livelihood depended on it. You know, their livings depended on working with the soil, working with objects, crafting objects. So I think it's a mistake to say, oh, people were naive back then, and that explains everything. That explains what's happened now. And what we see is that when you encounter a magician standing on a street corner, standing at a table, working for tossed coins, and that person made a ball disappear and appear underneath a cup, people didn't really mistake that for witchcraft. You know, people didn't really think that person was in league with the devil. The discussion of witchcraft was a big, complicated subject, and that was being held in churches or that was being held in private associations. And that was not the work of someone who was working for tossed coins on the street corner. So those are two very different arts, despite the fact that they've gotten twisted together.
And I'm curious as to how, you know, we're talking about technology here. So how did the rise of cinemas in the U.S. affect the work of magicians? Because this was at a time that was an intersection of vaudeville as well.
Yeah. There's a really interesting thing that happens right around that time, you know, in the very early years of the 20th century, where all of that stuff just gets thrown into a hopper and shaken up. And you'd be surprised at who was in that field of motion pictures. And many of the pioneers in motion pictures were magicians. I think part of that is that they were involved in presenting visual attractions to the audience. There was something at the time called shadowgraphs, where you would put a spotlight on and create shadows with your hands. And many magicians at that time were adept at shadowgraphy, at making shadowgraphs on the screen. And then they, by extension, often presented magic lantern slides and slideshows. So what you can see is that magicians and those magic shows were right at the forefront of motion pictures. So there were performers like David Devant in England and Georges Méliès in Paris who were right there and knew that their audiences wanted a new sensation. And when they saw motion pictures, they said, this is for us. And then what they quickly realized, ripe for deception, for illusion. And so you had Georges Méliès, who made a career out of creating these fantasy films that were filled with special effects. I mean, he was really the innovator and the pioneer of special effects. So there was about 10 or 12 years where magicians were the people bringing you films, both behind the scenes and also exhibiting them. And of course, what happened was that whole industry kind of catapulted out of the range of magicians and became something else completely different. But it's interesting that it was associated very early on with deception and with illusion.
And has the power of magical performances been diminished with things like YouTube, camera tricks, and a sort of general acceptance of science and technology? Can people still be astonished today?
Well, it's a really good question, and it's a question that has been asked all through history. You know, when people encounter magnetism, when people encounter automata, mechanical devices, when people encounter electricity, when people encounter a television and radio, there's always been the death knell of magic. You know, magicians shake their head over it and they say, well, how can we possibly compete with technology now when you can turn on a box and you can get voices out of it? But what happens is magic always survives, first of all, because it works on a level, a basic kind of fairy tale level with people. So it's not really competing directly with technology. It's not saying, I have the new radio. And the other thing magicians do, is surprisingly, is that they sidle up to technology. Magicians will deliberately use technology in their performances. So you see Robert Houdin, who uses not only behind the scenes uses the techniques, but also addresses automata, shows people magical automata, incredible devices that are more magical than the ones that you would see in someone's home or in a shop or in a museum. So his mechanical devices are more magical than any others. So magicians kind of co-opt technology, and they use it to their advantage. Today, you'll see magicians borrow a cell phone from you, and they'll ask you to turn it on, and they'll do some amazing thing with a cell phone. And you'll watch your own cell phone doing something astonishing, reading your mind or making a prediction coming to some amazing conclusion. And then they hand it back to you, and you realize that that little bit of technology that you thought you understood has been completely beyond you. And now, of course, it doesn't work for you. So magicians have always been on the forefront of using technology to make that point with the audience.
What was the most surprising thing that you discovered in writing this book?
I think what's always surprising is the staying power of magic, of how it's always changing to a certain level and it's completely unchanging to a certain level, if that doesn't sound weird to say both of those together. That magicians are always working hard to be part of that technology, to be part of the current events, to associate themselves with spiritualism, to associate themselves with mesmerism, to be showing people interesting experiments with electricity and with automata. And yet at the same time, you know, those tricks that we know that were done in ancient Greece, a couple balls and a couple cups, is still at the forefront of magic today. You can go to the Magic Castle now, you can see a magician at a bar take out a couple cups and do an amazing demonstration of that trick called the cups and balls, and how that is completely unchanging, and it's still a test of the magician's skill. So what's interesting about magic is that it's both this ancient, unchanging art, and it's this art that's always struggling to keep up to date. And I think that's what's intriguing about looking at the history of it.
Well, Jim Steinmeier, you are, and Peter Lamont, the authors of The Secret History of Magic, The True Story of the Deceptive Art. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Victor. It's been a pleasure.